My friends, in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus, and a continuing Merry Christmas to all of you. The passage from Galatians, again, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is our text. Please be seated. And thus is St. Paul's account of the Christmas story. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. And that is Christmas. Of course, St. Luke includes a whole lot of more details about the coming of Jesus Christ into his earthly family. But what I like about Paul's account here in Galatians is that he not only tells us that Christ came into an earthly family, but he also tells us what it means for us. That we too, because of his coming, we too come into a family. For Christ was born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because we are sons and daughters, we may now speak to God as our Father. And we have a share in the family inheritance. It is a holy and wonderful adoption. Adoption, as you might imagine, is something that is very close to my own heart and to our family. Sadly, however, there are a lot of people, whether consciously or subconsciously, who consider adoption to be a second best way of having children. And I cannot tell you how many times we ourselves have experienced that. Way back when we were going through the process of adoption, when even family members would say something like, so you're going to adopt. Why? Can't you have any children of your own? And then even today, well-meaning people might meet the family and say, how many of them are your own? And I'll maybe just offer you a little friendly word of advice on the side this morning. When you speak with couples who've adopted children, try to avoid implying that the adopted children are not somehow their own children, especially for the sake of the children. Don't say those things. Because as adoptive parents well know, and maybe only adoptive parents can understand this, adopted children are just as much your own as any birth child. I love the story that Dr. Jean Garten tells in a book that she wrote about a first grade teacher who was discussing a picture of a family with her classroom, and the class noticed that in that picture one little boy had a different hair color than all the rest of the children in the family, and a little girl guessed that the reason for that is because this boy had been adopted. And then she said, I know all about adoption because I was adopted. And then another boy in the classroom asked her, said, what does it mean to be adopted? And the little girl said, it means that you grew in your mommy's heart instead of her tummy. There are some very deep meanings in those words. And they give us a rich insight into the heart of God. Because spiritually speaking, our adoption began in God's heart. And our adoption is purely and only the result of His loving grace and mercy through no decision of mine, through no work of mine. And when God says, you are sons, there is not the least hint of anything second class. But to be his son is to be his own children, children of his heart, and nothing less. And it occurs to me that there are still many people within Christendom who still distinguish between God's own children, the Jews, and God's adopted children, all the rest of us Gentiles. You'll hear this a lot in evangelical preaching. that God deals with the two groups of people in a different way. He deals with His own children according to the law and according to family heritage, but He deals with us according to grace in Christ. And so we have these two distinctions being made. As a matter of fact, it was this very distinction that was tearing apart the church in Galatia. Because the Jewish Christians believed that they were God's own children and that they were superior to the Gentile Christians who were God's adopted children, the second best. I don't know if the Jews believed that God sat up there in His heaven and He said, I guess don't have enough children, and so He decided He was going to adopt a bunch more. But in any case, the Jewish Christians felt that their way of salvation was the superior way. It was Christ Jesus for them, but it was Christ plus their obedience to dietary restrictions and Sabbath rules and the laws of the Old Testament, and of course circumcision. You had to have circumcision, because after all, to be God's own child, to be His true child, you had to do it the Jewish way, and you had to do all of these things according to the old laws to please God. And wouldn't you know it? Well, Paul says that is foolishness. And he says that those who believe those things are being bewitched. And wouldn't you know it? That lie of the devil is still around, and it is still bewitching the minds of God's people who have been called purely by the grace of God through faith in Christ. And worse than being around, that lie is actually being preached from Christian pulpits. When you hear a preacher say something like, you can be a part of the family if you will make your decision to follow Jesus, if you will pray the sinner's prayer, if you will give up smoking, if you will sow the seed of a portion of your income into this ministry, if you will say your Hail Marys and your Our Fathers, as though just being adopted out of God's love is somehow not enough. Like we have to add to that by the things that we do. And yet God's word could not be clearer. Simple adoption, initiated by, carried through, and completed by God, is God's way of building His family, and even for the Jews. Because God said to both the Jews, or Paul said to both the Jews and the Gentiles in Galatia, He said, you are all sons of God. Not by birth. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. God doesn't have birth children. Except the one, of course. The one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. And who came at just the right time to redeem all of us who were under the law. Like all of us, our Savior was also born under the law with all of its demands and all of its threats. But the difference is He kept those laws. We couldn't. And then some 30 years after His birth, He presented Himself to God as a sacrifice, unblemished, unstained, unspotted by sin. And His Father then imputed, His Father transferred all of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our crimes to His Son, and His Son carried that awful, stinking load up Calvary, away from us, carried it to the cross, and nailed it there. And there, in bitter agony, He paid the price. The wages of sin is death, and He paid that price, purchasing our forgiveness, and fitting us with a gleaming white robe of His righteousness, and signing our adoption papers in His shed blood. It's also passive, though, this adoption of ours. It is initiated by God. It's carried out by God. It's completed by God. It involves no work on my part, for He declares from the cross, it is finished. It entails no decision on my part, because He said, you did not choose me, I chose you. It requires no payment by us, for He redeemed us, not with the perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. It is a holy adoption, Because by this adoption into Christ, God considers us. He regards us as holy, just like His Son is holy. And it is a wonderful adoption because of all of the wonderful changes it brings to my life and your life. Indeed, our very identity is defined by our adoption in Christ. You know that when a child is adopted, through no choice of his or her own, all kinds of life-changing things happen. The child takes on a new name, becomes part of a culture, becomes part of a socioeconomic class. That child is taught its parents' values and morals. It becomes part of a larger family of cousins and grandparents and aunts and uncles. That child shares in the family's leisure interests, is taught the family customs, is shaped by the family faith, even takes on the family's mannerisms and speech patterns and sense of humor. And through no decision of its own, all of that happens. That which makes the child who he or she is determined by the adoption. And when God sent forth His Son, and He chose us from eternity to be blameless in His sight through Jesus Christ, all kinds of wonderful life-changing things happened to me and to you. Through no choice, no work of our own. But it happened anyway. We got a new family name. Christian. We became members of Christ's body, the church, with brothers and sisters all over the world. And we became heirs of heaven, the glorious kingdom of our Lord. We learned to value what God values. And we learned, and we are still learning, to reflect our Father's likeness in all that we do and say. What a huge difference that makes. Once, Paul says, we were slaves to sin, but now we have been adopted. Adopted through the one that God sent to the manger of Bethlehem at just the right time to redeem us. You know, I'll never forget the moment that we lived twice in our life when we stood before the judge at the courthouse in Coldwater, Michigan for the finalization of our two adoptions. It was an awesome thing, just as awesome as being in the delivery room. And the judge, after having a little talk with us, he decreed three things. He said, first of all, this child now ceases to be a ward of the state. Secondly, this child is now your legal son or daughter. And then thirdly, the child is given its name legally. Now on the sixth day of Christmas, we rejoice to know that God sent His Son so that we could be adopted as His sons. And now the Heavenly Father declares to us, because of Christmas, number one, you are no longer a slave to sin, you are forgiven. Number two, you now are a child of the Heavenly Father. And number three, you now have the family name. You are a Christian. So, He says, call me Father, call me Father. And just you wait until you get the family inheritance. Adopted, oh yes, but by virtue of this holy, wonderful adoption, we are bold nevertheless to say, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. In the name of our precious Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.